In regard to this message today, what it's turning out to be, I'm going to be preaching next Sunday too, so it's going to be a two-part message. And I have to confess, folks, I really wrestled with this thing. I can't remember a message that I've struggled so much to put together as this one, and I was desperately praying that the Holy Spirit would rescue this sermon. So we'll see how it goes, okay? So it's a sermon. It's part of this sermon series, The Soul of a Nation. And the title is, I wanted to put a lot of W's in this thing, so I kind of have fun with titles, Have a Wonderful Welcome and Want for Wisdom from Above. Wow. There we go. And here's the theme. The wisdom from above, unlike fallen earthly wisdom, is sourced in God and is available for every Christian. Now, the theme expanded is the wisdom from above, unlike fallen earthly wisdom, is sourced in God and is available for every Christian, whereby it influences one's character and is lived out in one's conduct to the glory of God. Amen. And so there are two points to the outline in the first part of the series, this little miniature series. We'll get through the first point, and then next week we will conclude with the second point. So here's the 2 points of the outline, worldly wisdom, which is demonic, the worldly wisdom from below, and we're going to look at its conduct, and we're going to look at its character in James. And then next week, we're going to look at wisdom from above, which is divine. And this wonderful wisdom from above, once again, examining its conduct and its character. It was a very troubling time for the nation of Israel. They had suffered a major defeat from the hand of the Philistine army. King Saul and his son Jonathan of the tribe of Benjamin had been slain in the battle on Mount Gilboa. The kingship, the rule, and the transfer of power came to David of the tribe of Judah as God had promised. Israel and her new king would face many stressful and daunting challenges in their future. Of a particular note is a family that stood out for a quality that they possessed, which was crucial, there we go, for their present situation. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 23 and 32, it says this, Now these are the numbers of the divisions equipped for war, who came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Skipping down to verse 32, And the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Did you catch that? And the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Their chiefs were 200, and their kinsmen were at their command. Now the sons of Issachar, they understood. They really got it. They understood the times they were living in. That's a big accomplishment, by the way. And it's a challenge for us. Beloved, let us with the help of God's word and the quickening of the Holy Spirit come to understand the present times that we're living in. For these too are stressful and daunting times that we face in our present hour. They can be anxious times. They can be uncertain times. They can be dangerous times. Certainly, they are troubled times. So you get the point. But I don't want to stop there. That's kind of negative, right? I don't want to leave you in the ditch. Because these are exciting times. These are times that stir our anticipation. These are times that will introduce us to grand opportunities. These are times that evoke this deep gratitude. And these are times that allow us to display that we are truly different. We are children of God. Different. Different, hopefully, to the amazement of those around us. The difference In Jesus Christ, we have access to a wisdom that is from above. We are born again, John 3, we are born from above, but also in Christ, in regard to James, we have access to a wisdom that is from above. It's sourced in God. It is the perfect time. You know, you look at our world, guys, and you're probably thinking, man, I'll be glad when 2020 gets over with. Don't be in such a rush. We're different. And we're to see things differently. Beloved, I'm telling you, it is the perfect time for us. 2020 may not have been easy, but it is the perfect time for us. It is the perfect time for us as believers in Jesus Christ to tap into a wisdom that the unbelieving world misses. It's a wisdom that is not in their grasp. It's a wisdom that they don't even understand. It is the grand opportunity for us to connect with a wisdom that is divine in its origin. It will serve as a reliable guide through the convoluted times we find ourselves living in, beloved. We too can be like the sons of Issachar in our own day, possessing a wisdom that is from above. The wisdom from above assists us in maintaining unity in the body of Christ and understanding the times we are living in. I'll tell you what, unity is a big deal. Unity, the right kind of unity, is a very big deal. The wisdom from above assists us in maintaining unity in the body of Christ and understanding the times we are living in. In James 3, 13 through 18, it says this, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly." Ooh, don't want that. It's natural. I don't want that either. It's demonic. Did you ever think about that? Demonic? That sounds intense. "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, then gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So as we're thinking about this passage in James 3, verses 13 through 18, James opens this passage with a very important question. Who among you is wise? It's a good question. Who among you has understanding? Yeah, that's a good question too. And this isn't the first time James introduces us to the concept of wisdom. In James 1:5, he makes a reference to this term. It says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." But remember here, let him ask in faith without any doubting. The wisdom that James refers to in chapter 1, verse 5, is the kind of wisdom believers need in the midst of, in the context of, when surrounded. I love cowboy movies. Surrounded. Oh, I love it. John Wayne. Wagon train, you know. Rawhide, right? Some trouble's coming, so what did they do? They would circle the wagons, right? Circle them wagons. And the attack would come from every direction. That's the kind of thing that James is talking about. The wisdom that James refers to in verse 5 is the kind of wisdom believers need, that we need in the midst of, in the context of, and when surrounded by various trials of all kinds. I wish our trials would line up one at a time in order, and we just take one at a time. It doesn't always happen that way. But notice the character of God. He's generous. You need wisdom in that hour? Things coming all at one direction, God is generous. And he'll be generous to us in this wisdom. Without reproach, he's glad to do it. Now notice the character of the believer who's the recipient of this timely wisdom. The asking is an act of faith in God's ability and in his affirmative reaction to this request. It takes faith to have poise. Are you catching me on this, guys? This is not, well, I can do this when things are calm. No, this is when things are really, the pressure's on from every direction. You see, it takes faith to have the poise to ask God for wisdom when one is being hounded by severe trials. It's an act of faith to even ask God for that wisdom when that's happening. You know how it goes. Things are not working out right, and you put it off, you put it off, you put it off, you put it off. Things aren't working right, so you put it off, put it off, put it off. And then you think, I'm so desperate, okay, I'll pray now. When we should have been praying at the very beginning. Kind of shows where our belief is sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, man. These trials are coming from every direction, the kind of trials that test one's faith in God, even perhaps to the very core. The asking in faith in God, who can supply wisdom at a critical hour, should squelch any nagging and harassing doubts. He's generous, beloved. He's generous, and he wants to help you in those times. So as we get back now, we're turning back again to James chapter 3. Notice that once again, he's talking about wisdom in chapter 3. So we're turning back again to James, and I want you to notice something here. There's a bold contrast going on in this passage of Scripture, verses 13 through 18. I mean, it is a bold contrast because there are two kinds of wisdom. There are two kinds of wisdom. Did you know that? There are two kinds of wisdom in the Scripture. And really, the one of them really isn't wisdom, but there's a reason for using this term to describe it. There's earthly wisdom, and it versus wisdom from above. So there's earthly wisdom, and there's wisdom from above. Notice that the wisdom from above seems to have the signature of the Holy Spirit on it. The wisdom from above has the signature of the Holy Spirit on it. Wisdom from above. John chapter 3, born from above. This is a God thing going on here, see? Well, why would I think, besides the word from, you know, am I stretching it? Why would I say this has the signature of the Holy Spirit? Verses 17 and 18, listen to the description. This wisdom from above, which we're going to develop next week, by the way. This wisdom is pure. And do we ever need purity in our day? Do we ever need purity in our minds? Do we ever need purity in our hearts in the day we're living in? This wisdom is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's reasonable. Reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, whose fruit is righteousness sown in peace. Now compare that list with Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. Isn't that interesting that the list kind of it can compare notes and that there's similarity there. I think there's a reason for that. Once again, I think there's the signature of the Holy Spirit on this wisdom which is from above. Now, in conclusion, the person who is wise and understanding is the believer who avails himself to the wisdom that is from above. Next week. So here's a summary. This wisdom is godly in its character, which promotes godly conduct, which promotes unity in the body of Christ. This kind of wisdom is to be lived out daily in the life of the believer. It's to be lived out daily in Rodney and Luana's life and in Sharon's life and Brian and Jimbo and all of us here, okay? So now we come to the first point of the outline, this worldly wisdom, and it's demonic. It's demonic. First point, the worldly wisdom from below. And we're going to look at its conduct and character in James chapter 3, focusing on verses 14 through 16. Now, here we go. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. That's quite a list. Now notice that this earthly wisdom seems to have the signature. Here we go again with signatures. This earthly wisdom seems to have the signature of Satan and the signature of our fallen nature all over it. What a different kind of wisdom. Is it really wisdom? The source of this wisdom, it is the wisdom that is earthly or worldly. It's a wisdom that is natural or of the flesh. It is a wisdom that is demonic. It is a worldly wisdom affected by the fall. It is a worldly wisdom that works in concert with a worldly system. This worldly system is absolutely hostile towards God. This system opposes God and is alienated from God. Now consider the activity of this earthly wisdom. It's like a virus. I had to use that term with what's going on. Just had to do it. It's like a virus that breaks out into jealousy. And then it breaks out into selfish ambition. And then it lends itself to disorder or confusion. And then it lends itself to every evil thing. You know another way it's put? Or everything that is vile. Vile, that's a strong term. Each of these vices of this worldly wisdom feeds into the next vice in an ever-descending order of corrupting intensity. Did you get that? The vices of this worldly wisdom feeds into the next vice in an ever-descending order of corrupting intensity. Once again, I may have to set a new record on the length regarding the following quote used in the sermon this morning. It's kind of a new devotional that I got, and I shared with Pastor Gary about this thing, and it's an incredible devotional, folks. And it's by a man that I never heard of before. His name is Rick Renner. For those of you who know Kenneth Wiest and the Greek word pictures, it's kind of like that on steroids, okay? So Rick Renner renders a superb development of James 3, verse 16. I mean, this guy's taken a magnifying glass to this verse. Now, I want you to hang in there with me because there's a part of this that I'm going to read, and you may misunderstand what Renner's saying, so don't panic. Okay, don't panic. I'm going to explain it, all right? So, Renner defines key Greek words in verse 16 and gives us a very expanded paraphrase of this particular verse that helps us to gain a greater insight, okay? So here we go, and I really thank Mr. Renner for this because he helped me to understand this verse in ways that I couldn't have on my own. So here we go. Now, be thinking in terms of this worldly wisdom, this earthly wisdom. The devil knows that envy and strife destroy relationships and long-term friendships. Ever have that happen? He is aware that if he can create envy and strife between you and the ones you love, he can ruin those special relationships that God intended to be a blessing in your life. Realize the tragedy of that. Something that's intended to be a blessing ends up being a tragedy or something that's brought into ruin. That is earthly wisdom, and it is demonic. The devil doesn't just target friendships with this type of assault. He also knows how to get in between you and your church family. That's how insidious this is. A ministry you love and support, or even the organization of places of business where you work. The enemy doesn't care. He doesn't give a rip who he divides. In fact, he delights in it. In James 3:16, the Bible says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." The word. Now, here he goes. He's going to expand on these words, okay? So catch this. So, the word envy in this verse is taken from the Greek word zealous. And it denotes a fierce desire to promote one's own ideas and conviction to the exclusion of everyone else. This word zealous is where we get the word for zealot, all right? Which describes a person who is so fixated, obsessed, and fanatical about his own cause that others perceive him as an extremist on the threshold of becoming a militant. In the case of James 3:16, this word presents a picture of a believer who is so obsessed, gripped, and preoccupied with his own view of things that he can't see or hear the view of anyone else. If this kind of attitude continues, and I'm sure the building block, the foundation of it is pride, that's my own little addition to this quote. If this kind of attitude continues, it will naturally lead to the next step in this horrible sequence of events. This is where strife comes into the picture. Now, here he goes again. This word strife is taken from the Greek word aretheia. It means, it was used by the ancient Greeks to stand for a political party. Well, that should get our antennas up with all that's going on, right? Now, you're going to misunderstand this quote, so please listen to my explanation after the quote, okay? It was used by the ancient Greeks to stand for a political party. This Greek word is often translated as a party spirit because of its linkage to political systems and political parties. Therefore, in order for us to understand why James used this word, we need to stop and think about the way political parties are formed and how they function. Political parties are formed by a group of people who have similar values and views. After the party is formed, the participants develop a unified agenda, okay? Once the agenda is decided on, they create a platform. These things we're familiar with. Pastor Gary preached on two different kinds of platforms, showed us two different kinds. From that platform, the people begin to push their agenda and ideas, fighting fiercely that their party's platform is accepted and eventually put in the position of ruling and calling the shots. Well, this is certainly hitting close to home. Now, in the same way, some Christians become so clouded by their ambition to see their own views adopted that they have no tolerance for anyone who sees things differently than they do. Hold on, I will explain what Renner means by this, okay? When envy and strife have made it this far, the next step in this sequence of events becomes inevitable. In James 3:16, it continues, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion." And the word confusion is taken from the Greek word akatastasia. Whew, if I said that right. It was used in the New Testament times to describe civil disobedience. Well, we're certainly seeing some of that, aren't we? It was used in times of the New Testament to describe civil disobedience, disorder, and anarchy in a city, state, or government. By using this word, James explicitly tells us that when situations of strife and discord are allowed, boy, does this hit home. When situations of strife and discord are allowed to persist, an atmosphere of anarchy sets in and begins to destroy the relationships once loved, and shoe stores get looted too. Okay, I threw that one in. Okay, and begins to destroy the relationships once loved and cherished. Here's a thought for us, folks, with what's going on. Rational thinking. Okay. Rational thinking is replaced by raw emotions, and people end up getting hurt. Boy, have we seen that. James wants to make sure we understand that this kind of conduct eventually produces, if this believer, James wants us to make sure we understand what this kind of conduct eventually produces if this behavior isn't stopped. He goes in on to say, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. The word evil is from the word phallos, describing something that is terribly bad or exceedingly vile. Exceedingly vile. When the scriptures refers to something as being vile, we need to listen. In conclusion, Renner's expanded paraphrase of James 3:16 reads as follows. For where there is a fierce desire to promote one's own ideas and convictions to the exclusion of everyone else, it produces division so great that people end up taking sides and forming differing parties with conflicting agendas. This is a terrible event because it creates great unrest among people who should be united. Ultimately, the whole situation becomes a stinking mess. There's his expanded version. Okay. We mustn't understand, end of quote, okay. I told you it was a long one. We mustn't misunderstand what Rick Renner is saying here. Political parties have their place. In his attempt to define the Greek word for strife, he was showing us the historical root of the meaning of the word. This Greek word for strife arose from the unseemly things that can happen in politics and the strife it produces, okay? What Renner is not saying is that all conflict is avoidable, okay? The Christian must stand upon the word of God and please God rather than man. This particular stance will invite conflict for sure. Christians must demonstrate a wisdom that is from above, and this wisdom is not only in stark contrast to earthly wisdom, it clashes with it. The clash between these two kinds of wisdom creates a conflict that can even break out into persecution. Hence, North Korea, Sudan, Iran, Eritrea, Myanmar. My goodness. Indonesia, India, China. What Renner is suggesting and warning us of, if you don't remember anything else in this sermon, please take this to heart. Let it be written in your mind. Let it be etched in your heart. Let it be inscribed in your soul. What Renner is suggesting and warning us of is that we guard against infighting in the body of Christ. In James 3:15 and 16, we must guard against this warped, misguided, and misapplied earthly wisdom. It's horrible stuff. The wisdom from below will corrupt Christian character. The wisdom from below will corrupt Christian conduct. The wisdom from below will cause chaos and division in the church. Such misguided wisdom will sow seeds of division and disunity in the body of Christ, and that's horrific. That's horrific. When this happens in the church, do you realize what that does to our testimony to an unsaved world? Think of the horrific havoc such corrupt wisdom would have on the body of Christ. We dishonor the Holy Spirit with this kind of wisdom. We dishonor our Heavenly Father with this kind of wisdom. And we grieve Christ with this kind of wisdom. When earthly or worldly wisdom infiltrates the hearts and the minds of believers that affects one's character and conduct, it is the supreme tragedy. This is especially tragic when we, as believers, have access to the wisdom that is from above and its source is in God. As believers, we are to operate in a different manner, appealing to a different kind of wisdom. The wisdom from above is a godly wisdom that produces wonderful results, which we'll get into next week. So I close with this. In conclusion, conflict is unavoidable when, now think about this, conflict is unavoidable when earthly wisdom is so prevalent as a force in this world system, which is constantly hostile towards God. Beloved, thoroughly reject this earthly demonic wisdom steeped in a descending and degrading vice that is full of corruption. We expect this kind of behavior from those caught up in this world system which is hostile towards God and who adhere to this earthly wisdom. This world system is energized. Philadelphia. Look what just happened in Philadelphia. Look what's been happening in France. This world system is energized by this earthly wisdom, and we see its ramifications all day long. Oh, those videos with ICR and VOM, where Christians, they have videos of Christians in India having the tar beaten out of them. I mean, they're getting beaten. Earthly wisdom. It's demonic. The wisdom from above that is lived out will conflict with the earthly wisdom and its adherents. We are the children of God, and we're to live out our lives with wisdom from above that is at war with the children of wrath. There's a war going on, folks. And it began ever since the fall. The fallen human nature gravitates to this earthly wisdom that is spawned in this present age. This worldly system, which is so very hostile towards God. I was having a time before I drove the bus, used to drive the 35 route, I'd go to Pete's Coffee. Right? Pete's Coffee. And loving the Reformation, I would have my Luther commentary there. And a Bible sometimes, you know. And as I was having my devotions, a man walked by deliberately singing a song targeting me because he was upset with what I was reading. Spirit of the age, folks. I mean, I'm sitting at a table. I'm not sure. It's just me and God. And this man sang a song or did something to deliberately attack what I was doing because he recognized what I was doing. I remember late at night, after driving on TriMet bus, I was walking in a particular part of Portland. And the evil was so prevalent that the hair rose on my neck. And I'm a Baptist. You know, I don't see a demon around every corner, but the hair rose on the back of my neck. I sensed evil there. I'll never forget that. I could even tell you the area, but I'll hold off. It was in Portland. So let me read this statement again. The fallen human nature gravitates to this earthly wisdom that is spawned in this present age, this worldly system which is so very hostile towards God. So a little closing application. And it's kind of unfair because it appeals to the wisdom which is from above, which is next week, which I'm going to develop, okay? But beloved, the future of our nation is at stake. And this is not an overstatement. The future of our nation is at stake. As Christians, we have a powerful voice with our vote. Well, what does this have to do with James chapter 3? Well, it does. I had to wrestle with it, but it does. We have an opportunity to apply the wisdom that is from above. The wisdom from above applied is rich with the production of righteous deeds. Ah, there it is. See, I'm not doing eisegesis here. It's exegesis. And exegesis should always lead to good application. We have an opportunity to apply the wisdom that is from above. The wisdom from above applied is rich with the production of righteous deeds, our conduct. Let one of our godly deeds be forthcoming in our vote this coming November 3rd. Vote informed. Wisdom from above. Good deeds. Vote informed. Vote in a way that honors God. Vote in a way that honors God. Vote for the candidate and for the political platform which more closely produces policies that are in line with the teachings of the truth of God's Word. Because remember, beloved, God invented government. Remember, beloved, we should never talk about religion and politics, the two very most important things in life. Well, we should never talk about them, right? Boy, how did we give into that one? Beloved, God invented government. And you know what government does? It rules. And Jesus is going to rule. His government will be perfect. But with government, and with our vote, and with what's at stake, we have things called policies that will come out of whoever wins. Policies. Policies. And you know what? Policies are transformed into laws that directly affect our lives in this nation. There were policies back in the 70s that were made that has resulted in more than 60 million babies being put to death. And we're going to say that politics isn't important? So, godly deeds, wisdom from above, practical application, vote, and vote right based on this. Amen.